We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home solutions that fit your life, Rocket Ken, what a gorgeous Friday. We got Tiger Woods on the golf course. We got the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals going on. But Maggie, it doesn't seem like America is ready to let go of a 70-year-old college football coach from Alabama. Nick Saban still seems like he's on the hook with America.
Well, Perloff, when you have a day unlike we've ever seen in the history of college football, at least in this era of, you know, Twitter and social media and everything, you know, it's going to linger. And the reason why is because it seems very obvious that Nick Saban is incredibly threatened here. And he's threatened by how the rules in college football are changing. It's something that he can't control. It's something that could give a boost to his competitors. And it's something that he's going to have to deal with that's kept him and could, you know, have the dominance that Alabama has enjoyed and that Nick Saban has presided over for the last decade or so. It's threatening that dominance. And, you know, as we're listening to Nick Saban apologize yesterday, yet still continue to rail against this new system and these collectives and all that, I can't help but think this has more to do with how Nick Saban believes his career at Alabama is going to end. His legacy at Alabama and in the coaching world is set. It's unassailable. Perloff, there's nothing like, there's nobody who could poke holes in that resume, you know, and say he's not worthy of being the greatest or one of the greatest college coaches in football of all time. But he's got to be thinking, how is my tenure going to end? And am I going to pass this program off at the peak and still at the top? Or am I witnessing the beginning of the end of Alabama's dominance? And I think that's what's partially fueling this uncharacteristic behavior from Nick Saban.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. These are definitely the hard times in Tuscaloosa. This was the first real recruiting period with NIL. And what did he fall to, Maggie? Like, were we 50th in the country, 37th in the country?
Second, Perloff, the first loser.
Second, they had the number two rated recruiting class in the country. They don't always get number one recruiting. A lot of schools get that one spot. He's fine. Why? Who do you think gets the most NIL money in the country? Alabama players. Bryce Young got more NIL money than anybody else. Why will Alabama fall off because of NIL? And by the way, he's already stacked for the next 4 years. He has no, how is his legacy going to be in danger? He's 70. He's going to be good till at least 75.
No, the legacy is not in danger. The legacy is there. I would never say anything bad about Saban and his legacy. I'm talking about the future.
What's wrong with
right
the future?
Now,
they're going to destroy NIL. They're going to absolutely make it their, I don't want to use that word. But they're going to,
yeah, what do you, make them their what for a long time?
You guys all know what I'm saying.
Their daddy.
He is going to own NIL like no coach has ever owned NIL. If he puts his mind to it, because he's owned every other aspect of the sport. What is it? I know there's a lot of money in Texas and Oregon and all these places. And there's not necessarily in Alabama, but Alabama's like the Dallas Cowboys of the sport. Shouldn't they be able to find some money?
Okay, so I think that he himself is showing you that he feels at least a bit insecure about Alabama's ability to raise money and to have as money, much money in these collectives as some of these other schools. But you know, it's funny, you and I have talked about this over the last 48 hours, and you know, the idea that when Nick Saban was really, you know, concerned about spread offenses, right? And this was going back a couple of years ago, and he was warning everyone that this is not good for college football. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, he's crafting, like, you know, how to change his program and compete, and ends up coming up with, you know, a high-flying offense, and boom, you know, back in the national championship, winning national championships. That's something in some ways that the coach can control. He's a brilliant football coach. Changing your offense is something that's absolutely within his purview. Getting the millionaires who love Alabama to pony up is not really in his control. To get people to spend more than the Texas A&M boosters, or to get more money that's going to be in a Michigan collective or Oregon or whatever, like, he can't control any of that.
Wait, what?
First of all,
that's what college football coaches do. They're basically salesmen. I mean, he's been a fundraiser his entire career. I mean, you have that's part of what you do as a college football coach.
He has to believe that maybe he has squeezed as much out of the stone as he possibly can, and there's no more reinforcements of this collective and NIL money coming. And, like, you know, it's funny because while Saban is, you know, complaining about the state of college football, he is longing for the days of parity, which is crazy. Yeah. You know, Stuart Mandel, our good friend, wrote something really funny yesterday in The Athletic where he said, this is Alabama Nick Saban talking about parity is like Amazon saying, hey, quick, we got to make sure, you know, if we don't do something, all the small bookstores are going to go out of business. It's like, it's parity is a delusion in Nick Saban's mind. Yeah. Just because you have the same number of scholarships or room and board, like, that never equated to parity in college football. So I'm only going by what I see. I see someone who is more toward the end of their career than towards the beginning, and somebody whose dominance is being threatened. And I think someone who wanted to probably ride this dominance into their retirement, and that is potentially no longer going to be the case.
So I disagree with you because I don't think their dominance is being that severely threatened. I mean, he is Alabama. Like we mentioned yesterday, his agent, Jimmy Sexton, is with CAA. If you go to Bryce Young's Twitter page, he says, contact me at CAA if you want to do marketing. He's got the big guns behind the NIL machine, like the creative arts agency. The biggest guns there are in this country are marketing the Alabama football program. He is going to be fine. And the other thing too, Maggie, it's not like there hasn't been money coming out of Texas schools to players before. It's not like you telling me, I mean, I saw the movie Johnny Be Good with Anthony Michael Hall, and the old Tex was paying
research.
Yeah, it was paying tons of money to Johnny. And I guess what? Old Tex wasn't winning titles. Texas is not winning. The rich programs could have pressed that advantage in the past. I just don't think, I don't know why. I think Nick Saban is being a little bit strategic here. He's saying these things manipulatively, less so than genuine concern. I think he's trying to figure out the situation and make it work for him, because that's what Nick Saban does. You know, you said he figured out the spread offense and was back to winning championships. He never stopped winning championships. He was winning with the non-spread. He had, like, no downtime. He's incredible at adjusting on the fly. So I just feel like Alabama's going to generate money. I don't know what he's doing exactly. You're right. It doesn't, on its surface, it does seem like he's terrified of NIL, but I just don't get that. It doesn't compute for me.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you see this as Nick Saban being concerned about how his tenure at Alabama is going to end? Because he's firing this off like it's a warning shot to all of college football, but meanwhile, it's really just a warning shot to Alabama. It's being masqueraded by Saban and being sold like this is bad for college football. It's just bad for him. And you know what? To Perloff's point, we're not even sure how bad it's actually going to be.
Well, he had the number two class, and this is the NIL era. It obviously hasn't hurt him at all yet. I mean, in any real way. Well, I had a theory that he's trying to drive up the price for Texas A&M players, where he's sending out the message, hey, if you sign with them, you better get the big money because they are paying for players. I mean, this is college football, Maggie. You're very Machiavellian. They invented this stuff. I mean, they are out there on the recruiting trail saying who knows what.
You know, I'll believe anything. I'll also believe that maybe it was the fact that wide receiver Jordan Addison, who was formerly of Pitt, entered the transfer portal and decided to go to USC over Alabama. And maybe that's what got in the coach's craw. It could have been all of these things. But if you don't think that Saban is considering about how this is going to be for the next whatever 5-10 years, however much longer he's going to coach, I think it absolutely plays in. And I'm not saying that the coach is scared. I think I'm saying that the coach is concerned, and I think that he's certainly, certainly feeling threatened. You know who Perloff does not seem to have a care in the world about all of this?
Who's that?
Is Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
So we were waiting yesterday thinking, you thought that Jimbo Fisher had the fun back and forth and unloaded the verbal clip on Saban. Like, wait till Deion Sanders gets in on this. It's going to be hilarious. Get your popcorn ready. But meanwhile, Deion was basically the most measured, most mature, most adult person in this triangle. All he said, and you know what? We can't even play audio for you because he didn't even say it into a camera or microphone. He said it to a print reporter or online reporter and basically said, you know what? I still respect Nick Saban. He's wrong on this one. He doesn't have his facts right, but everything's going to be okay. And don't worry about us. We're good. It's like, what? That's it. That's all we get from Deion Sanders.
That's not primetime. That's like a Tuesday afternoon. Well, you're going to have to change his name from primetime.
Yeah, to midday.
Yeah, that was, I mean, is it okay that we're disappointed with it? It was a great response that I certainly respect Deion for it, but come on, give us something, Deion. What are you doing?
It was, he wouldn't take the bait. And you know what? I applaud him for that because, you know, he could have gotten right down there in the muck with Jimbo and just could have gotten down there just to get a headline. But, you know, Deion Sanders has gotten enough headlines over his life and his career. He obviously didn't feel like he needed one there. I love when he said, you know, the one thing, though, is he's not letting Saban off the hook on one thing, which is he said he did not take Saban's call and he is not going to be smoothing this over and talking it out with Saban privately. He said, Saban said this publicly. We can, you know, we can talk about it publicly when he wants to apologize. So,
yeah. By the way, I don't understand one thing about this Deion Sanders, Travis Hunter issue, the superstar who could have gone anywhere, who decommitted from Florida State. And Nick Saban said that he earned $1 million. Look it up in the paper. Now, by the way, Travis Hunter should be getting $1 million next year. Like, he's worth, like, if Bryce Young, he's the number one recruit in the country. He's one of the most spectacular recruits in a long time. He's a, you know, he's a cornerback, but he's also a wide receiver. Like, he should get a hefty NIL deal, by the way. Deion said that's absolutely not true. But I would hope that Travis Hunter, I don't understand. Travis Hunter chose Jackson State. I'd like to hear Deion, like, explain, go through this. Because I would hope Travis Hunter would get a great deal at Jackson State. You know, he probably earned $1 million by being there. I hope he's not foregoing $1 million. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, right now, from the latest I could read, he's got like two deals, both worth $250,000 that are both pending at this time. So it's not like he's making, but that's what I read. Who knows? I mean, that's not even probably any of our business. But I think you're right about what he's worth. I mean, way more than that.
Well, deals of $500,000 is pretty good. I'm not, and that's not bad for a college freshman. I don't know what you made as an 18-year-old, Maggie, but I would
not that.
No, you know, I think that bottom line, you and I both agree on that these players should be getting paid. I don't think, like, that's not even getting into the conversation. So the question, I think Nick's just confusing everybody with, like, what's he saying? Like, it still doesn't totally make sense. So he's saying that schools are promising NIL to come to our school. Yeah, no duh, right?
Well, technically, I guess that's against the rules, but what he didn't count on is the fact that nobody cares now.
Yes, that's what
nobody cares. That
was well said.
We think the players should be getting paid, but I'm curious what people think about Saban. Not his legacy, that's in stone, but does this feel like it's a threat to the end of his career and the end and how he's going to leave Alabama? Yes, he is the number two recruiting class in the country. I mean, A&M did beat them last year. I'm curious to see what it's going to be like this year in Tuscaloosa, and that's October 8th. So we've got a lot more to get to today, but want to get your Saban calls. Coming up later in the hour, Monty Burke's going to join us. He wrote a fascinating book about Nick Saban, so we'll get a little bit into the psyche of the coach with Monty. Really looking forward to that. But next up is you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Maggie and Perloff hanging with you on this Friday. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, but want to hear from you. And of course, coming up, the Lakers down to three finalists for their head coach, Perloff.
Wow, are these exciting names? Am I going to be knocked off my chair for these?
Hold on to your hats. We've got that for you next. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. Don't move.